Hi, I'm Pete McCall, and welcome to this episode of the Idea Empowered Entrepreneur Podcast. You don't have to be a serious fan of professional football to know that New England Patriots have been one of the most dominant NFL teams in history. When you look at the combination of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they've won a combined 6 Super Bowls and they've gone to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them over the past 20 years. Think about that for a second. And first, let me tell you, I am not a New England fan. Yeah, I'm a casual football fan, but you have to respect excellence and you have to respect hard work. So over the past 20 years, the past 2 decades, the New England Patriots have been to 9 Super Bowls and they've won 6 of them. That is unprecedented in any sport, and you have to respect that level of professionalism. But let me ask you a question about Bill Belichick. He could rightfully be called one of the greatest coaches on earth. You know, the numbers don't lie. He has 6 Super Bowl rings to prove it. But when was the last time you saw Coach Belichick run a pass route? When was the last time you saw Coach Belichick run out on the field to try to kick a punt or to try to tackle a running back? The point is, coaches coach. Players play and coaches coach. Tom Brady and the team are on the field. They're out there executing the plays. Coach Belichick and his coaching staff are watching the players, and their job is to give the players feedback so they get better on the field. And we can rightfully say that no one does it better than Coach Belichick. All right, so if you're not a New England Patriots fan, enough of that. But the reason why I'm talking about that is there's a big difference in being a coach and a personal trainer. You know, if you're a fitness professional, and a fitness professional refers to everybody, if you're a group fitness instructor, private trainer, one-on-one group coaching, we can categorize that as fitness professional. If you're a fitness professional, over the past few years, there's been a big shift in our industry towards the idea of using coaches. You know, traditionally, when you think about it, traditionally, you think back to Jane Fonda, think back to the aerobics that maybe your parents or at this age, grandparents were doing. It was follow the leader. You had one person up in front of the room, and everybody was following along doing the same routine. And if you're a personal trainer, or if you've been in personal training, for years, personal trainers will give their clients a workout. They'll lead their clients through a workout. But in either case, is that group fitness instructor doing the workout in front of the room? Is that group fitness instructor really empowering the group to learn how to exercise on their own? Does a personal trainer who just simply takes their client from exercise to exercise, is that personal trainer really adding value to that client session? Is that personal trainer really teaching that client how to exercise on their own? That's exactly what this episode is about today. This episode is about how do you elevate your game? How do you elevate your professionalism? Do you want to be just a trainer or an instructor who just takes somebody through a workout? Or do you want to be a coach? Do you want to empower your clients? Do you want to empower your group fitness participants? That's one thing that the top fitness professionals do. The top fitness professionals view themselves as coaches. They're not here to lead a client through a workout. They're here to teach a client what to do. On this episode of The Empowered Entrepreneur, I catch up with 2 of the industry-leading coaches that are really changing the game with how we deliver group fitness. We have Mark Cornell, is based out of Las Vegas. Mark has been a longtime personal trainer. He's been doing it for a little bit more than 21 years, as you'll hear. He's a master trainer for brands such as TRX, Life Fitness, Trigger Point. And Mark really has a great approach to coaching. And I catch up with Mark, and just so you know, before we get in the conversation, I caught up with Mark while he was on vacation. And literally, Mark, I don't mean to out you, buddy, and I love you, man. But Mark was literally sitting on the beach in Aruba while we were having that conversation. So when you listen to a conversation with Mark and I, picture him kicking back on the sand in Aruba, because that's where he's from. So Mark and I talk about the power of coaching. What's the difference between being a trainer and being a coach? And in that conversation, Mark and I also take a little segue, and we start talking about diversity and inclusivity within the fitness industry. So the first interview you're going to hear is with Mark Cornell. And then Mark mentioned, you know, a couple times his colleague, Brandon Wagner. And to be honest, folks, here's the deal. Because there's a little bit of static on the line, because we were talking on a phone line, Mark was in Aruba, I was in Southern California, and the interview, you know, could be a little bit better sound quality, I reached out to his colleague, Brandon Wagner. So you're getting 2 interviews today on The Empowered Entrepreneur. You're getting Mark Cornell and Brandon Wagner. Brandon is a personal trainer based out of Tucson, Arizona. I'm like, here I am. Sorry, Brandon. Brandon Wagner is a trainer and a coach. Brandon is a coach based out of Tucson, Arizona, And Brandon works with brands, again, TRX, TriggerPoint, and he really is. I mean, he's been mentioned in Men's Health frequently. Both of these guys, Mark and Brandon, are two of the industry leaders, not only for just fitness, but in pushing us, all fitness professionals, to try to elevate our game and try to work a little bit harder. So in this episode of The Empowered Entrepreneur, you're about to learn what it means and what it takes to take your game, to take your role in the fitness industry, go from being an instructor or trainer to being a coach. Coaches lead. Coaches empower. Coaches change lives. So here we go with Mark Cornell.
This is People Call, the Idea of Empowered Entrepreneur, speaking today with Mark Cornell. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, bud?
So happy New Year to you and your family and everybody listening.
Listen, today I want to catch up with you because you and I have had a couple conversations offline, and I want to share it with the rest of the Idea community, and that's about the difference between being a personal trainer and a coach and what that means for a trainer's business or for a fitness professional's business. So what, first of all, how would you describe the difference, Mark, between being a personal trainer and being a coach?
Okay, so this is mine, but I love using it. Trainers train animals. They teach people how to sit, roll over, and, play fetch. And coaches, they coach their teachers, their instructors. You know, coaches tell you what to do and not just what to do, but most importantly, why to do it and why it's beneficial for you to do it. Right? So if not what you know, it's what you can coach. So all the knowledge in the world doesn't get you anywhere unless you can explain it in a simple to understand language.
Well, let me ask you this. How long have you been a fitness professional? Let me ask you that, because I know you've been doing this for a while. I mean, you and I have known each other for a few years now. And you know, how long have you been working in the business?
In the business officially, I started with Gold's Gym in 1999 in Santa Monica and Cole in that's what is that, 21 years? I suck at math, but yeah.
Your career's old enough to have a drink legally. That's pretty crazy.
Yes.
So when did you take this transition, though, from, you know, when did you start hearing people use the term coach more and more?
Probably in 2007, 2008, and I started taking it really seriously. Yeah, 2007, 2008, I ran into a gentleman by the name of Bill Sonnemaker, who I consider one of my friends and my mentors. And he basically told me to stop calling myself a personal trainer. And we went into calling myself a physiologist and an exercise and conditioning, strength and conditioning coach, exercise coach. So the name coach was being thrown around more and more. More importantly, because I was starting to duplicate myself working for different companies.
And with the coaching aspect, with the approach to coaching, how is coaching a little bit different? You know, when you think about it, I like your analogy of a trainer can train dogs. But how would a coach be different than a personal trainer?
Well, for the personal trainer in the traditional sense walks you, you know, you meet them in the morning or the evening or whatever you train, and then you shake hands with them. And after you shake hands with them, you know, they take you kind of through this cookie cutter workout. This is very stereotypically speaking. Obviously, not every personal trainer in the world does this. Takes you over to the rack, has you grab some weights for you, sets you down on a machine, you do X, Y, Z, and you don't really know what you're doing. The only thing is that you're just entrusting your entire life and well-being to them. And that's personal trainers are in a stereotypical sense, they're the destructive people. You know, they do more harm often than good because they fail to actually put into action of what they learned. And I don't really blame them wholeheartedly for it.
Well, how important is it, Mark, for you? Because I'm thinking about this with clients I've had in the past. I want to see them. My goal is to work myself out of a client. And what I mean by that is I want to empower personally. I want to try to empower my clients to do it on their own so that I don't need to hold their hand when they come to the gym. You know, that's just been and what I found with that was when I took that approach, I couldn't get rid of clients. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so would that be one thing? Do you think that some personal trainers would sometimes are scared of losing business so they don't necessarily want to teach their clients how to exercise on their own? Do you think that's a fair observation?
Yeah. Oh man. The way you just paraphrase that is exactly, that was the scariest thing on earth for me because I worked in so many different gyms. And, you know, after I left Gold's, I went more independent and then I joined some other companies, one that you also worked for that I actually appreciate very much to this day, just TSI. I learned a lot from that company as far as being a personal trainer. But what happened is after a while, you're chasing numbers because the bigger corporations are all about numbers. And then you are fearful to actually really trust what we do is a science and it works. And the moment that I ran into more coaches, they literally started telling me, hey, you hold on to these people four times a week for the first 6 weeks. Yep. And well, the next time you see me, you got to tell them, I don't want to see you four times a week. I want to start seeing you three times a week because I'm going to teach you what to do. And then I'll see you twice a week. And then all of a sudden I'll see you once a week. But by the time you get to the once a week, those people will have changed so much that they will, that they'll empower their entire circle of friends to come and work out with you, to come and train with you, to come and learn from you, because they've now found someone that's willing to teach them the why behind a squat. Why should they plank? Why should they do this step up and step down and this balancing stuff and this foam rolling stuff? What's good about all these things? And once you start trusting the science that you, you know, you pay a lot of money for it. You know, we pay a lot of money to become these people that other people come to change their lives, right? I want to look like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. Great. What do I need to do? You need to listen. Really, really listen.
I like that. You need to listen because, yeah, a lot of clients don't like to take our advice, do they? You know, especially if all we're doing is just trying to download it on them and tell them to do it. You know, when you coach somebody, you know, what do they do? When you're approaching somebody, how do they engage you and how do they, you know, put action into what you're advising them to do?
Well, I start off by telling them to question the entire process. They, you know, we're on one of these $1,000 machines right now called a phone, an iPhone, a Samsung, an Android, whatever you want to call it. And there's a wealth of knowledge inside that little machine. Or if you're, you know, I don't know, if you're still a flip phone person, perfectly fine. Grab your laptop. But all the information that we have is essentially in those machines. And I challenge people, ask me the why, force me to explain the why, force me to justify why we're doing this so that I can become a better teacher / coach and you become a better student. And within this process, there's so much growth happening between both individuals that one, your client will start accomplishing goals one by one, and you as a coach will become more empowered and you'll be able to deal with individuals one by one in that much better of a way.
Well, plus the other thing about coaching, Mark, is I think about it is, isn't, you know, kind of the trend in the last number of years has been more towards group workouts, more towards whether you want to call it, you know, the big popular franchise clubs or studios. I'm going to say the, you know, franchise studios, which I'm not going to name, but, you know, they seem to be, you know, there seems to be this move towards like coaching group workouts. So isn't learning the skills or the attributes of a coach, doesn't that set up a fitness professional to be able to generate higher income from doing more revenue-based programming, like around group coaching?
Absolutely. The ACSM, and I believe it was 2011, 2010, they already started trending there in our entire industry towards small group training, right, SGT, which basically forced the group X professional to become more of a personal trainer and the personal trainer to become better versed at being a group X professional so that they cross these skills over, and that would be a natural evolution of the personal trainer. It would be a natural evolution of the group X professional. And what it would force you to do as a group X, you know, a trainer is, hey, you have to start coaching. You have to literally start using a little bit of the knowledge that all these personal trainers have. And all these personal trainers needed to learn how to build rapport quickly and effectively with a large group of people, which opened up an entirely new marketplace.
And you work with, I mean, as you're a master trainer and a relatively well-known and frankly a relatively busy master trainer, because you and I bump into each other all over the place. When you introduce this in your workshops or when you're speaking at Idea World and you talk about the idea of a coach versus a trainer, what's the response from the audience? How do they respond to that different approach?
Well, more and more, there's more head bobbing happening. You know, people are starting to understand it a little bit better. But still, sometimes you got people kind of looking at you cockeyed a little bit as far as like, where are you going with this? And I'm trying to literally implore the group to head the direction that you and I and some, you know, and some of our colleagues are already headed into, which is becoming a coach versus a personal trainer. Really starting to teach the people the why, because there is that much knowledge. We are in the age of information, and that allows all of us to find more knowledge online, to be able to say there's so much more research backing what we do and to be more science-based. And at the moment, yes, science is turning the world around and around and around.
It doesn't coaching allow like the approach to using the behavior change, the science of behavior change, because you're really trying to get people to empower themselves.
Absolutely. you're trying to get people to change their habits. So the old school approach would be like, hey, John, you know, you want to lose 20 pounds? Yeah, well, you're going to have to start running every morning 5 miles. You're going to have to give up everything that you love and cherish in the world. No more Coke, no more candy. Cut out all the fats. As a matter of fact, you're going to do the master cleanse diet starting today. And, and you're going to have to give up all your friends that are a bad influence. And that fails year after year after year. What does work is affecting people's behavior and telling them, hey, listen, I got to bring your stress levels down. You've got to sleep a little bit more. You got to start watching the fiber in your food. You're going to have to start resetting your gut bacteria so that it will directly affect your stress levels. And then you'll be able to perform better at work. You'll be able to perform better at home. You'll be able to be a happier, more fulfilled person simply based on making small changes that will carry you through the rest of the year.
Sorry to jump in there, but if I'm just thinking, if somebody's listening to this and I'm thinking, oh man, I just learned the science of, you know, I just learned the science of strength training. I've learned the science of HIIT training. Now you're telling me I got to learn the science of behavior change. You know, what are some simple things that, what does a fitness professional need to do and what type of education do they need to make that transition from a trainer to a coach?
In the last 10 years, I've had the honor to be groomed by a bunch of huge companies, you know, the TRXs of the world, the Life Fitnesses of the world, the Trigger Points of the world, and meet some fantastic business professionals just like yourself, business professionals. And one of the things that I'm doing this together with my colleague and my friend, Brandon Wagner. We've created a little company called Coach Creator. And Coach Creator, that's basically what we've been doing for the last, 10 years. We've been creating coaches. I usually joke around and tell everybody I'm the main gremlin, but I get stuck. I have to duplicate myself. But more importantly, we're trying to take all this science and tie that silver lining in it so that people can see how it's all related, that people can see, hey, you know what? The things that you've learned in the last 6 months or 3 months of your ACE, NASM, ACSM certification or PK Global certification, those are all things that are going to propel you towards the next step. But often there's nobody to take all this stuff and bring it together. So what Brandon and I have done, and we were very blessed to be able to work with IDEA as well, is to say, hey, we're going to take the knowledge that is already in your head. We're going to take it and we're going to pull it out and we're going to show it to you in an organized fashion so that you can take the knowledge that you have to your clients and teach it back in an easy-to-understand language and bring those people into the 21st century when it comes to understanding what their habits are doing, to understanding what the 20-minute workout will do, to understand what a 10-minute workout will do, what it means to just be active every day, to be a little bit more mindful, and stop going through the drive-through of fitness, stop going through the drive-through of food, and be a little bit more aware of what's going on around you. So what we've been doing with Coach Creator is we're blessed enough now to start a small conversation once again with Gold. Everything comes full circle. And to go in there and start sharing the knowledge that we have as the older senseis, the older instructors, and basically tell all these young instructors, hey, be empowered, feel powerful enough that you do know what you know. And what you don't know, well, guess what? You can learn about it and take that knowledge, turn it around to teach your clients, take the knowledge that you have to share with your fellow instructors and your fellow trainers, your fellow coaches in order to empower them all to be a better self. That's what it takes.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's where, and I think people recognize and they hear how powerful that is. Now, the question I have, Mark, to kind of transition a little bit here, is we're so used to, I mean, you and I, you know, you started in a year beginning with a one, I started my career with a year beginning with a one, and you and I have had a couple offline conversations about this, about trying to go digital towards, you know, digital online coaching. Do you think it's possible, you know, in this modern era, you know, going into the 2020s, is it possible to be a coach online if you're working with clients through a virtual medium?
Oh my gosh, that's the future. And I think if you are a personal trainer, or coach, whatever you want to call yourself, physiologist, if you are currently not looking at the digital space, then you are definitely behind the wheel. And a coach starts thinking a little bit bigger and starts training that hour, and they turn that hour into such a powerful medium to affect not just one person, but maybe 5 or 10 people. A perfect example for that is I'm Nick B on Instagram or at @FFM_fitness. That's Summon and Nicole. These are two women. Summon is a very powerful Canadian trainer. She's turning herself into a coach. She's learning how to duplicate. We're taking her and taking her from just a one-on-one training as a physical person and a physical entity and putting her online. That is such a powerful medium to wake up to. The personal training space is wide open when it comes to online. There's a lot of powerful individuals. Summon is a Muslim, hijab-wearing woman, 40 and change, super strong, very intelligent, and now we're helping her take her knowledge as a personal trainer and flipping it into a coaching realm. The same with Nicole.
Let me pause for a second, because I love the fact that you're mentioning a Muslim woman who is working in this space. Do you think in the fitness industry, do you think we could do a better job of improving our diversity and especially trying to elevate different people? You know, because you and I, Mark, have been doing this for a while, and we see the same people, you know, kind of over and over again in places. But, you know, don't you think there's so many other people out there doing fabulous things? And I love the fact that you're pointing out somebody different, because, you know, when you look at the Muslim population, it's a huge population in the world, and yet we tend to overlook that in our industry. You know, and I think it's important that we realize that fitness applies to all areas of diversity, don't you think?
Yes, diversity in fitness. We should at this point in time in 2020, we should look like a Benetton ad. There should be everyone from every walk of life, from every, you know, religious background. You know, what are you going to do when somebody with a hijab walks in? For the people that are listening, do you even know what that is? If you don't, HIJAB, Google it, right? Understand what that's about, and it'll gain you a client if you can just understand the cultural differences. What would it mean if somebody with dreadlocks comes in, right? Do you even know what you can? Well, you can do anything that you can do before, but you might have to have a conversation. Hey, let's tie that up. You know, it's the same way as having a gentleman come in that's wearing a pant size 5 times too small, right? You might want to go a bigger pant size, but can you have that easygoing conversation with everyone? The lack of diversity that's still in there is, I believe, actually hampering us. We're trying to be such purebreds while the Mustangs of the world are showing everybody the way, right? There's a gentleman, I forgot his name, he's doing some stuff on step aerobics, and I sent that over to Fred Hoffman and Lee Cruz, and they were like, oh my gosh, we'd love to take this guy's class. I think he's in Georgia. And that class looked like it's an hour-long party. And this man is and should be on a national stage. The fact that there's still just kind of one color and one direction in our industry is shameful, in my opinion. If you look at the what do you call those things? There's all these magazines, right? I forgot the name of the magazine because, oh man, like a Vanity Fair. All you see is one type of skin color. And if you then see the diverse picture, it's still one type of person. But there's beauty in every single culture, and there is something about every single culture that you can learn. Because guess what? When you go to the Olympics, it's not just one culture kicking your ass. It's everybody's all over the place doing work. So there's a power in every culture. There's a power in everyone's habits, and then there's power in everyone's background. And we have to start bringing these people into our world so that we can learn from them and grow collectively.
And the reason why I ask you that, Mark, and I really appreciate you saying that, because, you know, in order to be the best coach I think people can be, they have to learn how to work with people of all cultures in all areas, especially as we become a more diverse society. And I think, you know, if people are going to go, fitness pros are going to go down the route of expanding their skill set, be a coach, I think they should also take the time to also look at how can they be, you know, more inclusive and inviting more people into fitness who might not normally come. You know, what have you done to try to you know, because I know this is a big issue, you know, big passion area of yours, which is why I want to talk with you about it. You know, what have you done to really try to help, you know, to try to promote diversity within our business, within the industry?
Well, I'm originally Dutch, and I speak about 5 languages, and my grandmother is from Suriname, and my father's side is from Aruba, and I look at movement like a language, right? What we do, it is a language. If you go around the world, I played basketball my entire life, martial arts my entire life, and yes, a pass is a pass, a basket is a basket, scoring, passing, dribbling. But if you pick a different language, the ball is still a ball. You'll learn it in a different language, and you can go into any place in the world and look at someone and squat and look at them and say, "What's that called in your language?" I'll be able to tell you that in their language. You have to be able to open yourself up to different cultures so that you can gain from working anywhere. If you work in Miami, Florida, and you don't speak Spanish, good luck getting your clientele.
Right? Yeah, right.
If you work in Lincoln, Nebraska, and you don't know anything about football, good luck getting more clients. Right? It is culture based. If you work in New York, oh boy, you know, that's a melting pot right there. You know, you might run into somebody from Ghana, you know, and do you know what tribe they're from? If they have a cut in their eye, do you understand where that's from? It's okay to ask questions as long as you have a proactive approach to it. So for me, I'm always trying to take the people that are coming up with me or they're behind me and push them ahead. And my dad used to tell me this all the time. You know, at a certain point, you need somebody else to pull you up. So if I can connect with as many people in the world, in Jordan, in France, in Amsterdam, in Brazil, in China, Thailand, in Indonesia, and I can pull some of these people up and turn them into either local superstars. That's one of the things that we're doing with Coach Creator, turning them to superstars by vouching for them. Because, yes, when you come out of the U.S., you're perceived as this all-knowing, you're all-powerful, omnipresent individual. And we're not. But everybody uses that as validation. So why not go somewhere and use that power to validate local coaches and instructors on taking these trainers and turning them into coaches? And by doing so, you're creating this family of people, even in Ireland, that when you go there, they will hook you up with everything they can. Come over to my house, come have a Guinness. You know, come over to my house, we'll make you a roti. Come over to my house, have some curried chicken. Cool. But in return, you got to show them something too. You got to show them about movement. You got to share the things that you know. And you share those things that you know without being fearful that somebody's going to, quote unquote, steal your ideas. Movement is non-proprietary. Everybody is entitled to it. And the more that we can have that resolution of sharing from the heart and giving people what they might not understand and explaining the little things, mentoring a fantastic instructor from Iran. And guess what? That young man is a brain and a half, you know, and I sit with him and I learn something when he opens his mouth.
Pardon me a second, Mark. We're on a phone here and that kind of broke up on me a little bit. And just for listeners, you know, I'm catching Mark on the tail end of his vacation, and I'm not going to mention where you are, but just I know you're in a very, very beautiful spot. I think you actually already mentioned you're in Aruba. So if there's a little bit of static on the line, you know, I apologize about that, but this is the best way we could connect. So who's that gentleman you were just talking about? You know, the one you said who was Iranian?
I forgot his handle. I think it's a strong body. He's a strong first instructor. He's going for his PhD. He's an ultimate sandbag master instructor. He's a CFX instructor. You know, this is a guy that when I met him 8-9 years ago, he was not teaching for any of these companies, and he did the same thing. I'm an immigrant, Pete. You know, I came to this country in 1996. I came to the U.S. in 1996, and you know, I met my wife, and I told her, you know, she told me, like, you should be teaching. And we had a conversation. And when I met Ara, he told me the same thing. He's like, I'm going to teach for a lot of different companies, and I'm going to inspire the world to move. And he speaks multiple languages, and he is one of those people that you can't step over, right? And there's another gentleman from France, Fouad Douma, you know, very strong French accent. But these are all immigrants. And you can learn from each and every one of them if you're willing to just sit there for a second and listen. Why? Because they're going to blaze right by you. They're doing the little things. They're waking up at 4 a.m. and reading an extra book. They're going to bed at 11 p.m. at night. Have they, you know, done an hour long of PubMed research, Right? What do you? It doesn't matter where you're from. If you don't do the work, somebody like that is going to come by and blast you right out of the water.
And that's some great advice, because it's always about the hustle, right? So what's next? You and Brandon Wagner are working on Coach Creator. What do you have in store for yourself in 2020, Mark? How are you going to grow your business as a trainer, as a coach, and as a master instructor, you know, working in this space?
Well, I used to tell everybody, like, I forgot who used to say this a lot, but, you know, it's not about your network. It's not about your net worth. It's about your network. And that word networking has been beaten to death. And I'd much rather look at myself in 2020 like a connector and a facilitator and an aggregator. I want to connect people with each other. I want to facilitate and introduce people to solutions. And at the end of the day, I want to be an aggregator of knowledge and getting people together on one platform. That's why I told everybody, like, hey, we're doing some fantastic work with Idea and Life, and we're going to have to take these people, like the R. Keshins, like the Summon Maneers, like the Nick B's, and taking these people that nobody's ever heard of and giving them a platform. I will let anybody stand on my shoulders to look and stand a little higher if that's what it's going to take for them to reach more people. If I can only reach 11,000 people and I want somebody to stand on my shoulders that comes to 300,000 people, I will gladly let you stand on my shoulders. Why? Because I know that those people are the same type of people that allow me to then climb up once they get to the top. Because there's no other way to do it.
Well, I'm sorry to cut in real quick, but I'm just thinking as you say that, isn't that one of the cool things of going to like the Idea events, like the Personal Trainer Institute and World, is the fact that you meet so many people and you see, you know, what they're doing and how you, and doesn't that just being in an event like that, doesn't that give you the motivation to go back and just do it a little bit different or try to do it a little bit better?
Yes, and more importantly, you know, I love Ideas Timeline. Inspire the world to fitness. You know, inspire someone else. When we have the privilege, Ryan Halverson, you know, created a platform in 2008 to come and present at Idea. And I'll never forget that. Why? Because I was in this small little room with some heavy hitters that are left and right, some of the largest instructors in the world. But we all do the same thing. We inspire others in our classrooms, whether you have 5 people at your PTI or 50 people at your Personal Training Institute or 400 people in front of you at Idea World. We're there to take those 400 people and make them greater than they think that they can be by inspiring them. That's where I say we're coaches, there to inspire others. And at a certain point, you get to sit back and say, wow, look at all these people we helped develop. Because it's not about me at this point, Pete. It's about all the people that I can connect with others to grow as big and strong as they can. And some of them, I'll lose them for the rest of my life, but the majority of them, they'll be friends with me until the day I die. And then, yes, as a black belt sensei, I get to sit back and look at them and say, wow, you know, these people are making a difference in the world of fitness. Andre.
And now, and to wrap it up here, you know, I want to respect your time, especially because I got you on super long distance here. How can people start following you on Instagram? Because I know you put up some killer content, dude. I love your Instagram feed. And where can people go to learn more about Coach Creator?
Well, it's at Coach Creator on Instagram. And they can find me at Open Mind Fitness. So that's OpenMindFitness. Brandon Wagner is BWAGS, BWAGS. 73, and he and I are doing some, we're going to make some noise, and if anybody's interested to create a bigger platform and to be coached up to be simply a behemoth in the fitness industry, hit me up, send me a direct message, hit Pete up, because we all talk to one another, and he's fun to speak.
And that's awesome, man. That's why I want to reach out to you, Mark, because, you know, you always have such a positive message, and I know you're just doing a lot of work out there to try to elevate and lift everybody up, and one of my favorite sayings is a rising tide lifts all boats. So, dude, I really appreciate your time. I'm sorry to bug you during your holiday, and I really appreciate your time for the Empowered Entrepreneur podcast.
I love the All About Fitness podcast, and for the people that are tuning in, you know, stay connected to this. You know, I think if I can leave everybody with one thing to think about, I am but an accumulation of all the teachers and instructors that I've met in my lifetime. That's who I am at the end of the day. You know, including my mother and my father and my wife and my kids, they all teach me on a daily basis. So you know, I'm a forever student, and I believe that if I'm a forever student, I'll be able to also forever be a good and inspirational teacher.
So that was a conversation with Mark. And again, you know, the sound quality, I edited it a little bit because there's some static in there. He was literally sitting on the beach in Aruba. I was in my office in Southern California. So, you know, there's a little bit of sound there. That's why I reached out right away. I got on the phone. I was like, reached out to Brandon Wagner. I'm like, hey, Brandon, you got a couple minutes? Can we talk about this? Because I know how passionate Brandon is about this. So now you're going to hear Brandon and I talking. And Brandon does a phenomenal job of really explaining the power of being a coach. So here we go with Brandon Wagner.
I'm Pete McCall, the Idea Empowered Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm honored to be speaking with Brandon Wagner. Brandon, how you doing today, bud? What's going on?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm good time you caught me. I was just on my way back. I know, funny enough, is at the shooting range with a buddy of mine who's into town from Boston.
Yeah, he's got the phone with Mark Cornell. We were talking about the difference between coaching and personal training, and he mentioned you a couple times. So I just figured if I could reach out to you, and I know it's, you know, we're still kind of winding down from vacation here, but I wanted to kind of grab you for a couple minutes, Brandon, to see, you know, if you could give me a little bit of input about like what you consider the difference between a personal trainer and a coach.
Oh yeah, love to. That's the subject I always like talking about.
And so, let me ask you this: how long have you been working in fitness? How long have you been doing what we do?
I have been doing it professionally for 21 years.
Wow. Okay. So you're what? So you started when you're 6, 7 years old, or?
3.
So for the number, of years, I mean, you probably consider yourself a personal trainer, but now you call yourself a coach. How would you describe the difference between the two?
Well, you know, when you bring up that subject and you start talking about that, I've always, as you said, called myself a trainer. And it wasn't until I've been in the industry for long enough that I decided to, as I began to see kind of the evolution and how things have changed from when you first get into industry to getting, you know, what I would call tenureship, I did not like the name trainer anymore. And the reason being is I feel it really, it does a disservice to what we do as practitioners, in whether it be even teaching classes or whether it be doing personal training or wearing both hats. And the reason why I say that is I feel like a trainer encompasses somebody who just sits there and counts reps, doesn't provide, you know, real tangible, meaningful feedback, and doesn't really provide any, you know, any growth for not only the industry, but the clients they're working with. I feel that a coach encompasses somebody who is not just motivating, somebody who provides, you know, feedback that's real time, that's actionable, that the person can, your client, your class, understands what you're saying. They make information so readily available that you can take what they say and turn into action. You know, there's somebody that you can lean on. There's somebody who, if you do one-on-one, they do know everything about you and what's going to get you to, you know, motivated to push and move and show up to the gym on time. And if you're in a class, it's the same thing. They can bridge the gap between personal training and group training, in the sense that they can motivate everybody. They know everybody, and, you know, they bring a personal feel, but an elevated status of education and knowledge to the training world.
Oh, dude, that's a lot there. And I want to kind of unpack that a little bit, because, you know, think about back when you first started personal training, you know, a number of years ago, first starting the industry, did you have any concept at all that's what you would evolve into?
No, not really. And I'll tell you, for me, there was a moment that I will tell you that I can, a definitive moment in my career, that I realized I did not like the word trainer. My daughter was in high school, and it, you know, it happened to be, you know, a private Catholic school, of which, you know, we really didn't have the money to send her there, but she was able to attend. And, you know, most of the people who attend a place like that have a lot of money, but in any case, one of the parents of her friends asked her, what does your dad do for a living? And she said, he's a trainer. And I remember when she told me this, I thought to myself, oh, man, do me a favor. Never say that to anybody again. And she's like, why not, Dad? And I said, because I do so much more than just train people. You know, like I change lives. I elevate, I motivate, I create. That's what I do. I don't just stand there with a clipboard and tell people what machine to go to and how many reps they need to do.
Do you think that comes with a certain maturity level, a certain experience level, education? I mean, what do you think really kind of helped foster that evolution of your approach to fitness?
I think it's all of that. I think it's a maturity level. It's understanding the nature and gravity of the responsibility you have just taken on. Because, I mean, it's an industry that you can get into easily. It's an industry that you can financially do well if you find the right niche. However, I think people get into it with the false sense of thinking that, oh, I work out, you know, I write my own programs, I can do this for a living. You know what I mean? It's almost like looking at an actor and going, I can make people laugh. I can make people cry. You know what I mean? And it's not as simple as that. And I think, you know, when you get into it, when you're young and you're kind of still wet behind the ears, you don't really understand the gravity of everything that you say, everything that you do, and how you approach somebody with the intent of, you know, really changing their lives in an impactful way. I think it's hard to grasp until you begin to, what I would say, have these epic failures, you know, where people, you know, maybe don't respond well to what you say, or you find that your feedback is negative, and you begin to kind of dissect, what did I do wrong? Where can I go do better? And you have to have those milestones, or you're never going to get outside the trainer world. You're always going to stay in a trainer. You have to accept, you know, the gravity, the responsibility, and everything that comes with that. And that's, I think, again, it comes with a level of maturity and experience.
Well, let me ask you this, Brandon. How much group fitness do you do? How much, you know, group work do you do? Because I think part of this evolution is the, you know, as we do this, as we change, I think a large part of it has been those of us that do group fitness kind of learned how to evolve our skills so we became more of a coach, you know, as opposed to people who just maybe only stay focused on one-on-one personal training. So do you think group plays a role in kind of developing the coaching skills?
Without a doubt. I think you cannot do one-on-one and be a successful coach. It's like I've always said this, you know, I mean, somebody who teaches classes and somebody who does one-on-one wear two very different hats. Cueing, you know, the approach, you know, the how you talk, everything about, you know, your involvement in both aspects are completely different. And, you know, I taught group classes for 10 years when I was working for Canyon Ranch. And when I was there, I had to teach. I was teaching 40 hours a day. I was probably doing about 80 to 90% of just classes. That was 40. So you're talking, you know, 30 to 40 hours a week of teaching classes of 35 different formatted styles. So, you know, I basically had to take it and own it. I mean, it didn't matter what it was, if it was water or if it was circuit or if it was, you know, restorative type of classes. I had to evolve my skills to be able to be successful at all of that. And I think had it not been for that type of experience, being immersed in that type of environment, I don't think I would have evolved into the coach that I feel that I am today, both in the group world and the one-on-one world.
Well, where'd you go in order to kind of develop that skill set? Did you do anything specific, or was it just kind of something you figured out by trial and error, realize what didn't work, and then would go in a different direction?
You know, I mean, I've always been a big advocate, obviously, of continuing education, and I don't mean just within the realm of taking conferences and doing online, you know, continuing education, you know, reading books and listening to people who are far smarter than myself and, you know, attending any type of workshops that I could so I could learn. But I would say that I think the biggest growth is from your own reflection of, you know, what did I do in this class that, you know, that made them clap at the end? What did I do in this class that made them walk away, you know, without any positive feedback? You know, when you have somebody who pulls you aside and says, you know, what you did has changed my life. You have to, you know, I mean, as awesome and as powerful as it is, you have to begin to kind of find what is it am I doing? And it's not a script you can write, because ultimately at the end of it all, each person is going to be motivated differently. But what I would say is there is a pathway from understanding, you know, where do I start at ground zero and then move to this position where I feel like, man, I'm a really successful coach because I've done X, Y, and Z. And it's just a matter of, you know, again, like I said, trial and error and changing and reflection and growing and expanding and being challenged, you know, I mean, and what I mean by being challenged is having different people in your classes and trying different things and not just staying within one realm, because then you really pigeonhole yourself into not being successful.
And I think that's powerful, because I think a lot of people, Brandon, when they get in this business, they get kind of caught up in their own silo, you know, whether they're a trainer one-on-one on the floor or maybe a group fitness instructor, and they kind of get caught up in this idea of like, I'm only a trainer, or I'm only an instructor. What is it about, you know, kind of labeling ourselves a coach that will allow a fitness professional to really kind of grow or just evolve out of that mindset?
I think a lot of it comes from the consumer world, right? Is there's always been these stereotypes of, you know, hey, if somebody said to you, hey, I'm a trainer at World Gym, right? When World Gym existed, I think it spawns images of, you know, cut off sleeves and guys walking around with, you know, a gallon of water, you know, and leg wraps. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like these big muscle bound guys. And you're like, that's a trainer, you know? And then when you think of coach, I think of somebody like a Bill Belichick, you know, like, you know, somebody of that nature
let me pop in there real quick, because that's an interesting thing. I think that I've heard this from instructors, right? Because for years, you'd have a group instructor in front of the room, leading the room. It was kind of like a follow the leader effect. You know, and to your point, you said the thing about Belichick. You know, he's not out there throwing the ball. He's not out there running, you know, running the routes or you know, making the blocks. You know, he's the one that sets it all up. Don't you think it's important for fitness professionals to realize that they don't need to do the workout in order to help others be successful in their own workout?
I could not agree with you any more than what you just said, is because I have always felt, and this was something that, you know, I had a really hard time accepting when I was working, when I was teaching classes at Cannon Ranch most of the time, was, you know, there were people who requested us to work out, and even the department heads, like, hey, you know, this is a what they call a level 3 class. You got to get in there and work out with them. And I always said, this isn't my workout. I can't properly, you know, modify and progress exercises or give proper cues to people or help to give more attention to people if I'm in the, you know, in the mix with them doing the exercises. You know, this isn't my time. It's their time to shine. I'll take my workout when I need to. But right now I have to make sure that it's kind of like your flock, right? You got to make sure that they're all in sequence, moving together, doing the right things, and you change things that you need to. So you don't need, and this is when you become the Belichick, is, you know, you've done there. You've been there. You've done all the grunt work. You've, you know, you've sweated for hours to get to where you are. So you speak from an authentic place when you say, hey, let's do 5 burpees. And someone says to you, how hard are 5 burpees? And you go, well, if you do them right, they should be brutal, right? But that's because you know and you've experienced it. So you don't have to be in the trenches with them, but you do have to come from an authentic place of, I've done them, I've been there. Now it's my turn to, you know, to show you how it's done.
And looking at that, you know, speaking with Mark, you know, a little bit ago, Mark was mentioning the Coach Creator, that you two are collaborating on, you know, on a program called Coach Creator. How would you know, what is that, and what are you guys hoping to do with it?
So, you know, over the last couple of years, we've watched the industry change. And I think the one thing that the industry itself as a whole has gotten away from is the ability for trainers, coaches, whatever you want to label them as, they've really lost the skill on that one-on-one or that group experience, right? So this is our objective is to be able to provide an experience through the eyes of a consumer, not through the eyes of a trainer. You know, I understand how important programming is for true results and gains within somebody's fitness journey. However, I think that comes second to the experience that they have when they're in the room, because we all know that everybody wants to look better. Everybody wants to perform better, but it wouldn't matter to the consumer if I in my left hand had a program that was considered to be the best program on earth, and then in my right hand I had the worst program on earth. If you don't have an experience of good coaching, and what I mean by that is, again, somebody who knows your name, somebody who can motivate you, who can make you laugh and smile, who can make you work hard and make you want to come back and gives you this personal, you know, experience, it doesn't matter what program I have in my hand, because you're not going to come back. And that is our objective, is to take, you know, let's say the trainer and elevate their status to coach by showing them, you know, what we call the soft skills, the ability to be able to observe how they are in class, how they navigate and move, and how they make eye contact, and how they make somebody smile and feel good, but also, you know, want to push harder for you because you're there to help to support them. And I think that's what our real mission is to be able to say, look, it doesn't matter what you come in with. What it matters is what they leave with.
That's powerful, man. And how are you guys, you know, how are you guys putting that out there? How are you guys going to be introducing that concept or those concepts out to the industry?
Well, you know, we're in the midst of actually, you know, starting some beta courses, and I just locked in one for the end of this month with a group of trainers from Vasa Fitness who are going to be coming down and going through some courses. I'm going to use them as, you know, kind of as a stepping stone to kind of just seeing feedback on that. You know, we've talked with Idea as well on getting this out there through Idea China and through Idea South Korea. And you know, our goal is to reach out to as many, you know, potential consumers. And when I say consumers now, you know, large gyms who, and even small boutique fitness gyms who, you know, really want to help to increase their return of investment on their trainers that they're bringing in, because that influx of trainers is pretty high in the industry. But I feel like if, you know, there was investment in something like this, you would see greater elevation in trainer retention as well as, you know, member retention. So we're trying to get the name out there as much as we can. We've been pushing a little bit on social media, but you're going to see a much bigger push in 2020.
That's awesome, man. If people want to track you down and follow you and find out what you guys are doing. And one thing I say, Brendan, you know, we've known each other for a while, you know,
yeah.
And really, you have one of the more creative. I love your Instagram feeds. I love those little challenges you put up. So I think people could benefit from seeing kind of how you position yourself and how you frame yourself. So how could people follow you, or what's the best way to get in touch with you, via social media or via any online presence you might have?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm on, you know, I keep myself pretty active on both Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So on Instagram and Twitter, I'm BWAGS73. That's BWAGS and the number 73, which happens to be the year I was born. So, well, let's keep that hush hush. And then, you know, on Facebook, it's just Brandon Wagner. And again, I mean, I like to use that platform, like you said, to put out challenges. But I think it's also important, you know, on that platform, as coaches are out there, isn't just to just sit there and show what we can do. It's to give motivation and creativity, and, you know, actually be vulnerable to people, to be able to say, you know what, I know that, you know, people can look at me or Mark and just say, man, it's amazing what you guys can do. But it, you know, we don't do it in one video. We try and try and try and try. So what we show is that we show you the one thing that we did well. We don't show you the 20 times that we failed to do that one time, you know. So we don't try to do things outside of people's realms. We try to show something that's fun and motivating, gets people moving.
Dude, that is awesome. I wish we could talk longer, but I know we've got busy schedules. So, man, I really appreciate your ability. You know, Mark just mentioned a few things about what you guys are doing. I'm like, hey, if I can track down Brandon, I want to be able to include you in the conversation. So, hey, man, I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing to push the industry forward.
Yeah, thank you, Pete. I appreciate it too, man. I mean, that's why I call you my friend, man. We're on the same page.
I really can't tell you how happy I was to be able to get them both on the horn. Yeah, I recorded this during the Christmas vacation time of 2019, transition to 2020, and it really was a lot of fun to catch up with them. But really, I hope you understand, I hope you hear the difference, you know, between being a trainer. When all of us got into this industry, you know, and ironically enough, I have about the same amount of experience, about 21, 22 years. So we all have, and that's one of the reasons why I think we've all, you know, kind of developed this relationship. Because we talk about this. We talk about the need to change our game. You know, when I got into this, you know, I was very, you know, I got into this business. I was very much the same way. I would design my clients' workouts and I would just, you know, okay, take them through it without really thinking about it. And I wasn't really doing much to educate them. I wasn't really doing much to teach them. And once I realized, and once I started realizing that, you know what? I could get more business by teaching my clients what to do. And this sounds a little backwards, but this really happened. I started taking the approach, and I actually learned this from a friend of mine who's a building contractor. We were talking about it when we were talking about our works, what time we're comparing our jobs. And he said to me, you know, Pete, every time I start a job, I start working myself out of a job. And I thought about that for a second. Because if you think about it, if you're a contractor, if you're hired to build a house, as soon as you start building a house, you're going to work yourself out of a job. Because what happens when the house is done? If you're a home builder, your job is done. You move on to the next one. Well, what about us as personal trainers? What about us as fitness professionals? I started taking that approach with my clients. I wanted to empower my clients. I wanted to teach my clients what to do. So frankly, they didn't need me. And I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but I found, and this is for real, I found the more I did that, the more they wanted to train with me because they were learning. I wasn't just taking them through a workout, we're doing this, we're doing that, do X number of reps here, or why. I was teaching them why we were doing things. Why was I putting the exercise in this order? Why are we using this piece of equipment and not that piece of equipment? And, you know, don't just take it from me. You heard Mark talk about it. You heard Brandon talk about it. And check out, I'm going to have their, you know, check the show notes. I'm going to have their Instagram feeds. I'm going to have a couple other Instagram feeds that Mark talked about. And one note on the diversity and the inclusivity, I wasn't expected to go down that route, but that was a conversation that Mark and I have been having. We were at Idea China this year, and we were talking about just, you know, you look around, and especially the fitness leaders in our industry, we are very homogeneous. You look at a lot of the leaders in the fitness industry, and a lot of the faces look the same. But you look around the world, as Mark said, we're Benetton ad. We're a very multicultural universe. And so what we can do in fitness is, and I think we can all take a little responsibility for this, is we can look for ways to how can we make fitness more inclusive? How can we make fitness more diverse? How can we welcome people into a studio? How can we welcome people into a fitness center that might feel a little bit different? Because, you know, a practicing Muslim wearing a hijab might feel a little uncomfortable walking into a big box gym. We have to make that woman feel comfortable just like we would anybody else. And I'll say one note on this. Anytime I have a woman come into a class wearing a hijab, the only thing I'll mention to her, and I try to do this very quietly and I do it very just cautiously because I want to be respectful, but I just mention if you're wearing a head covering, if anybody's wearing a head covering, even baseball hats, we dissipate a lot of our heat through the top of our head. I forget what the exact percentage is, but we lose a lot of heat through our head. So if somebody is wearing, you know, if somebody's in class wearing a head covering for whatever reason, most likely a hijab is religious, we want to let them know to take some extra time, drink a little water, and if they need to catch their breath, they should catch their breath because their body isn't going to dissipate heat as easily. And that's what Mark means by just being a little bit more sensitive, be more culturally aware. We want to be more welcoming. That's part of being a coach, right? We want to bring everybody into the fold. You know, and I love the way Mark was describing that. We want to elevate and raise everybody up. Folks, when we look at it, in the United States of America, there are over 330 million people. And what's our rate of obesity? We do not need to be fighting each other for clients. There are plenty enough to go around. What we need to be doing is working with one another to raise each other up, to lift each other up, to support each other so we all become stronger, so we all become better coaches. And we create a much more diverse and inclusive fitness industry from both consumers and fitness professionals. Thanks for stopping by, and I look forward to having you join me for future episodes of the Idea Empowered Entrepreneur.